Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the LPN Show. Recorded both in Los Angeles and New York City. We're just, you know, here to hang out. Have a good time. All right. I'll talk to y'all after a while.
Jackie, let her rip.
Ahoy, hoy. Welcome to the LPN Show. Hosted by the siblings with the mostest, I'm Jackie Zabrowski, and my brother Henry is like a little angel on my shoulder. Or is he a devil today?
I'm a big parrot, all full of meat.
Oh, good. That's not what they feed parrots. I think that you would die.
You're coming in here strong. I love feeling your energy.
Thank you.
I love feeling your positivity.
You're glowing
today.
Uh-oh, am I preggy? I'm not.
Jesus Christ.
But no, we're not here to talk about my pregnancy.
This is how we're opening our show? Like, this is how we're opening?
I'm not pregnant.
Jesus Christ.
Is that kind of nice, though? What a nice, fun surprise. Henry, my brother, and also my boss, I'm not pregnant.
Oh, God.
And we are here today with David Magadoff and Claire Kramer, the co-hosts of the Fanatics podcast, presented by Roddenberry Entertainment, but also you guys are from many other things as well, and I'm so excited to talk to both of you. Now, I will say...
Top Elf,
of course, this is top billing.
That's obviously the big one.
The big one, the number one thing we're going to talk about is Top Elf today, because David was on Top Elf with me as a fellow elf.
Yes, Jackie and I were and forever are. Are elves. The elf can leave the North Pole, but the elf never leaves inside of you.
You're already giving me flashbacks.
Like North Korea.
It's like North Korea. Yeah.
And also, Claire, thank you so much for being here. Also known as Glory from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which I think is very funny that we are preferencing Top Elf over.
Yes, that's the joke,
Jackie. Beloved,
it's the
eternal
joke.
Buffy. Is that?
Yeah, it's a bit.
Oh,
I was doing a bit.
God.
Top Elf is not the most important show on this whole thing. Unfortunately, it's not.
Well, Jackie, I'm with you today. I'm not pregnant. So there.
That's awesome.
That's how I'd like to start the show. I mean, you know, that's my contribution. I am only a soul of one at this moment. But that soul will do as best she can for you guys
great.
This episode.
Sometimes, though, you got to drink for two.
Always.
Especially if you don't want them in there. But you do have a family, Claire. You have had souls inside of you in the past.
I have, and it's very it's very exciting. That's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah.
Claire, actually, that's where I'd like to start at the up top. When you're pregnant, do you feel the soul jump inside of you? Like, do you feel the soul choose the embryo? Do you know when it's happening at the time?
Well, no.
Or do you make souls out of your body?
The more you're saying the word soul, the more I'm like, I never want to experience any pregnancy.
Well, unless you're Arnold Schwarzenegger in a Danny DeVito movie.
Oh my God.
You're good.
Yes.
Well, with my wife, Claire, together pregnant, right?
No, we're not.
No? Okay. All right. Shamed.
No.
No, I always hate when guys say that. We're pregnant. No. You are not pregnant. You will not. I absolutely, that's one of those things that drives me nuts. You know, four kids later, when a husband is like, we're pregnant. I'm like, no, you're not. No. Okay. Sorry, David. I love you though. You know, I love you.
I love you too.
The question, let me go back to the question. Can you feel a soul connecting and emerging inside of you? The answers for me was no. The proof that I'm not just, you know, being a cynic and saying no is once upon a time, I had really bad food poisoning. I ate a salmon salad from this place called, well, I'm not going to say the name. It's a good restaurant.
Trash's place. Claim Jumpers. We know it's Claim Jumpers.
I'll just say this. It wasn't known for fish. It was known for barbecue. So maybe I was ordering the wrong thing on the menu. But anyway, so I got really sick and I was like to the point where I was throwing up a lot and... my husband was like, we've got to take you to the ER because you're like literally not able to, you know, stop throwing up. And I'm like, I agree. Then we're driving to the ER and very solemnly, he's like, what if you have stomach cancer?
Jesus
I'm like,
Christ.
I don't know. What if I do? Like that's going to suck. And
yeah.
We go to the ER and they asked me, when was your last period? And I said, well, I have a 5-month-old and I'm breastfeeding, so I have not gotten my period back. And they came back in the room and a little bit later and they were like, actually, you're 14 weeks pregnant.
And threw up everywhere.
I was like, that's not possible because I have 3 children and I'm still breastfeeding. And they were like, it actually is possible. And that is the 4th baby.
Wow.
The salmon sickness baby.
Was your husband like, are you sure it's not stomach cancer?
He was like, take her back in, look again.
Wow.
So I missed that total, like, you know, part where they like make sure the baby's okay, check that it's fine, Damn. Developing okay. That I was like drinking through that whole thing.
Wow. Do you not know then? Wow, that's so wild to me.
Yeah. And I hadn't gained a 4th kid. I had not gained any weight.
Hell
I, in
yeah.
fact, was continuing to lose weight from the last pregnancy. And then, you know, there was that sudden turnaround and another baby.
Did you name your child Salmon?
Yeah. No, I named him Sky. Aww. I almost named him. Sky was a carryover name. It trickled down to the 4th and it finally got used, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was always like, maybe it's a middle name. Maybe it's, you know, River Sky or, you know, but Sky finally got used. He was almost named Sequoia Sky.
Ooh.
To the point where I wrote it out. I had it 2 days after he was born. I still hadn't named him. They're like, we can't let you out of the hospital without naming the baby. And I was like, it's just the baby. Get the baby work for a while. Like, you know, you get a pet, you want to see the personality. You know?
Yeah. I think you did a good job because I think anybody I've met who's been named after a specific type of tree has become a drug dealer.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those that you sell mushrooms naturally.
Right, right. Yeah. Well,
are you talking about Forrest right now?
Yes.
Because Forrest definitely sold. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Friend of ours. Yeah.
Forrest was on my list of names. Couldn't get the husband to bite on that. So anyway, it was Sky Linley. It was going to be Sequoia Sky, but I had a friend who goes by his middle name, and he was like, don't you do that. Don't you give your kid a name that they're not going to use for their first name.
Whoa.
Evil person. So I didn't.
Was his first name like Harlequins?
His first name is Jonathan, and his middle name is Chaz, and he goes by Chaz.
Whoa, Chaz is cool.
Chaz is a super cool. He's multiple Emmy winner, you know, showrunner for Top Chef, Real Housewives. Great guy. Very talented.
Whoa.
Really held my feet to the fire on that one.
Yes.
I think Henry almost threw up with excitement from the second you said Top Chef. Henry's eyes, I can feel his eyes light up.
Yeah, he takes me to some great food places. Let me just say that. But David, okay, so when you are pregnant with your wife,
I'm sorry.
Is your wife pregnant now?
No.
Is your wife pregnant?
No.
But the cats are your kids.
Thanks,
come on.
Though, Jackie. Yes, I do have a cat. That is my, I'm not going to say my child because people vomit at that, but she is childlike.
Okay. You anthropomorphize your cat. We get it. I think that's a great thing. But let me ask you this. What kind of names? I had a certain name. You know Sky. I'll tell the rest of the names in a little bit. But David, what kind of names are you going to be looking for your kid?
You know,
David Jr.
You can all rag on me for this. I like biblical, but the wife has no interest in that. Mm. I think like a James is cool.
A simple name because it's nice. It's a name that everybody can get behind.
I'm always thinking about the kid in a public school room and them calling out the name because all these kids are named. Your kids at least have interesting names, Claire.
But they're short.
They're short.
Yes.
Sky, heart, like river. You get these names, like the boom. Like no one's confusing them. But some of these names out there, I just die inside for all the Kirstens.
Kirsten is a hard
that
name.
That they never have their names said right.
Because a Kirsten is doomed to the world of, it's Kirsten, actually.
Yes.
Always.
And so you always sound like a monster.
Always.
I had my best friend growing up, her name was Cara. C-A-R-A.
Oh, no.
And everyone was like, Kara. And I'm like,
Kara.
No. And she was really shy. And I would always be like, no, it's Kara. No, it's Kara. You know?
Protect her.
Yeah.
I want to name my kid Clementine. And I told my family and everyone started going, Flammy, Clammy.
They did
Flammy,
that.
Clammy.
I like Clementine.
You did it. You did
yeah,
it.
I did it because of the family, but I'm seeing Henry.
Well, it is also weird because every child right now is named Henry. Henry is the new, like, big name for children. So when we went out to Disneyland, it's literally like, Henry, stop that. Henry, come here.
You're like looking everywhere.
You're so used to getting yelled at.
I was like, huh?
What?
Can I ask a question about your show, Fan Addicts?
Yeah.
Now, Fan Addicts, you guys run this show where you ask people about their specific obsession. Now, I was listening to the episode for Katie Sackhoff you had on, who is a lovely woman. And she did, her episode was about dogs. And for a second there, what I was almost sort of afraid is it turned out that like Katie Sackhoff was like a dog hoarder.
That would have been better.
But I wonder if that, it's, I didn't know if it was that.
Found out on the show, that would have been awesome of like, how many do you have? Where are all of the kennels?
Well, we actually have an episode about mini Rex rabbits that has not aired yet. And there was also the potential for that to turn into that. It did not. And that's a Nicole Tompkin, who is Jill Valentine in the Resident Evil games.
Oh, yeah.
You know, is just an awesome, awesome person and one of my best friends.
How many does she have?
I don't know.
A lot.
She actually wouldn't tell us, I think, for fear of. For fear of what, Claire? For fear of like she could be found out if she has too many, or it's like
in her apartment?
Thing?
There, I don't know. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole anymore, David.
Yeah.
That was all just a setup, Claire. Good job.
Thank you. But yeah, no, with Katie's episode, she's got these three dogs. We talk about David anthropomorphizing his cats. No, this is a whole new level. Like she has a bassinet set up by her bed where like the doggies sleep and lay. She strolls them in a stroller. They, you know, are in harnesses when she's going through airports, like harnessed to her body, one in front, one in back, one in the stroller.
Is this a problem? You know? This is what we do. Is this a problem?
It's not a problem. I think it's awesome. That's what the show does, though. We celebrate like the idiosyncrasies that people have. And like what's so interesting to me as a host, the topic is different every week. Obviously, you know, we're not going to have the same people on who are obsessed or, you know, fanatical about the same things. So each week is like this total lesson in a new subject, in a new like perspective for me about what, you know, what people are passionate about, whether it's like Ford Broncos, which was Greg Grunberg's episode, which was awesome, or Bianca Santos.
Tony Hale loves indoor malls.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Outdoor malls, not strip malls, indoor malls. I can tell you why indoor malls are good and why certain indoor malls are clearly bad.
Because you got to get your steps in.
I know, the mall walkers. I love
those. Well, here's the big
those.
Question for all of you, and that he posed as well. Carousel or no carousel?
Whoa.
I don't touch anything that has a lot of children on it. Because of their diseases and what they carry, they might as well be covered in visible germs. So I don't go where they are.
Mm.
But that's why I will live forever, is because I do touch those things. And now I've built up an immunity.
But no, otherwise, I'm trying to think. I was in a mall in Florida that had the little go-kart things, like little childlike things that you can get on, that you can drive them around. Like, that was pretty sweet.
Oh.
That was pretty fucking sweet. Like, I got to... That was the, but that's, you know, again, that's more of a car.
That is a car. Yeah. Jackie, carousel or no carousel for your
always. If there is a ride, I will be on it. I don't care what I have to do to get onto it. I will go on the ride. I think that it's, I don't put my mouth on it, Henry. It's not like I'm sitting there just like sucking on the horse's ears. Yo, do you guys, when you started this show, do you guys have your own obsessions that you don't, or have you been able to explore that to the extent that you want on the show?
Yeah. One of you just comes out like David's like, I have this total obsession with compulsive gambling. It's this crazy obsession I have.
That would be me.
Where I gamble all of my
money.
Actually,
that would be me. But we'll talk about that in, again, different episode. What do you want to learn, Henry? I'll teach it to you. I'm a casino game wizard.
Oh my God, please teach it to us.
I'm going to Vegas next week. Give me some tips, please.
I was just in Vegas for 8 days.
What? We'll talk about this.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this.
That's another story. Yes, David, go first.
Yeah, we did like a little mini episode at the very, very top where we kind of talked about some of our, did we? I'm like, it's been so long and yet not. Anyway, here we are. And what I love is a bunch of things. Actually, what came out today is one of my loves was the Keiko Agena. This is Lane from Gilmore Girls and Prodigal Son. Her episode just dropped today, which means nothing for anyone because you're listening to this episode much later. But now it's out, so feel free to enjoy it.
Good plug.
Go check it out.
She talks about the Enneagram, which I actually did with you, Jackie,
David.
When we were on Top Elf, going back
David
to the North Pole.
David is the one that introduced me to the Enneagram system, and now I also preach it to whomever will listen to me.
You do?
Because I'm like, it's just so crazy. Yes, because I immediately now type people, I've become you,
oh,
David.
God.
And even though we won't see each other again for Top Elf, I think about you every time I proselytize the Enneagram system.
But aren't you just an ENFP?
That's the Myers-Briggs, Henry. Yeah. The Enneagram, which is also one of my passions, and Keiko, again, his passions, is a, we don't have to go, this is like a real,
ooh, we got to. I mean, honestly, you can explain something. I mean, I don't know what the hell everybody's
quickest talking. Thing is this. It is an old-timey personality type thing that started a gazillion years ago that was kind of tweaked in the 50s by some people in California, because that's what people do in California in the 50s. They tweak things. And yeah, literally.
Always grabbing and pinching, grabbing and pinching.
Grabbing and pinching, grabbing and pinching. And it's 9 numbers from 1 to 9, and we are all born, not no nature. Sorry, no nurture, only nature. We are born with a number. And a wing. So like you're either a 9-1 or a 9-8. You're a 2-3 or a 2-1. You're a 4-wing-5 or a 4-wing-3. And if you know this person's number, like Jackie is a 6-wing-7. I am a 2-wing-3. Claire is also a 2-wing-3. Henry, we don't know what you are. We haven't done the test with you.
I'm pretty sure Henry's all kinds of 7.
What does this mean? What is this? What are you talking about?
Henry, I'm with you. I don't know.
I am not
a number. I did learn about it in the episode. I still don't understand it. I'm not going to lie.
I am not a number. I'm a man.
But yeah, we'll just say you're a 7 today and call it. But yeah, it's a whole fascinating thing. What I love about it is it's sort of my favorite part about the Enneagram is it is to me a quick on ramp into learning about people. That's it. It's just to me, if I know your number, I kind of know you, kind of intimately, a little quicker than I even would have to have a conversation with you. If that makes sense.
But it's based off of questions, right? Yeah. Is it one of those where you have to say agree or disagree, like kind strongly of. Agree, strongly disagree? Because I feel like a lot of people lie on those because they're all like, do you care about what people think about you? No, I don't.
No, it's like when you're at the doctor's, they're like, and how often do you drink a week? And you're like,
amounts?
Recreationally.
Less than I used to.
That's why I push the less than I used to.
I literally always preface like, I'm a comedian.
Yes.
And then like, what does that mean? What does that mean? I mean, like, I'm always out.
Yeah, just out. Like, it's part of my job.
I'm out. I have to be like that. I have to do this. This is not a lifestyle. This is my job. This is my career.
I like Claire's obsessions. She has a few, but there's two that I like.
Gonna guess which they are.
Claire, feel free to share what you love.
But when I get into something like playing cards or strategy games or anything,
ooh,
I get really into it. Right, David?
There's two that begin with C that I know you really like, Claire. And I like
you
both
can tell them. Go ahead. You tell them.
You love cloisonné,
mm-hmm.
And she loves chairs.
I love chairs.
What's cloisonné?
Okay, you know what it is, probably. Cloisonné is like, well, first of all, I love antique like fairs and like going to like,
yes.
For example, any sort of like flea market, but you know, the like Pasadena has a great flea market,
yes,
once a month. And there's like the part that goes around the Rose Bowl, which is like the shops that actually make stuff, and then there's the whole parking lot, which is basically junk. And I like the junk area,
yeah,
you know, I like to go out there and find stuff. So, cloisonné, I started collecting because I was in my younger years, BC before children, I had time on my hands. I guess another obsession of mine that starts with C is children, too.
Oh, yeah. That becomes a part of your life.
But I would go to like estate sales and garage sales. And like my idea of a good time on a Saturday morning is driving around, looking at garage sales, looking at estate sales, and trying to like find cloisonné or whatever, you know? So it's little, it can be in the form of vases, candle holders, jewelry boxes, anything really small, but it's like wire worked on the outside and then enamel is poured in to make the different colors.
Huh.
So it's not painted on. There's no paint. It's like a method of like wire working and then pouring. And I love it. And I have a lot of different pieces. Everything from like an owl that has a head that comes off that I put my Q-tips
in. Whoa, this is cool looking. I'm looking at it.
Yes.
Yeah, and you can look up Cloisonné. It's C-L-O-I-S-O-N-N-E.
Whoa,
if you want to look it up.
That's kind of cool looking.
And you know what's cool is like you. It's not mass produced in any one form. So like the expensive stuff, you can find like, you know, come across at these estate sales pieces that are $500, $1,000. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you can come across at the Rose Bowl these little pieces that may have imperfections, but are still have history and age.
Whoa.
That are, you know, $2, $3, $5, $10. There's room for all collectors.
$246,000. I'm looking at this thing. It's a bowl.
They got stuff from like the Ming Dynasty.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it goes all over the place.
And he's like, a bowl. It's a bowl.
But you know, that's also part of the allure with it.
Yes.
Is you don't really know what you're getting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I may buy a piece someday and then later do research. This has not happened to me. I'm not like telling a story, but what I hope to happen one day is I buy a piece, I do some research, and then it's like, oh, this is the, you know, the $500,000 Ming Dynasty bowl, which did happen in New York this year.
That's the antique roadshow dream. That's like the dream that you're like, this is the one. I got it. This is my ticket.
Yeah. Or American Pickers.
Yes.
I watch that show too. Where, yeah. So that is, I love Cloisonné. And now, really quickly, chairs. I just love chairs. I don't know
what's
why.
What's your favorite chair? The favorite chair that you have, or is there a chair that is unattainable for you?
I can't pick. I can't. It's like
she like
a child.
Has a garage full of chairs. Like no joke. Like,
I'm not joking.
All
I probably
kinds
have
of chairs.
35 chairs or more.
Damn.
That's
what do
great.
They? Do you trust your children around all of these precious antiques?
Of course. My philosophy with life is if you can't use it and enjoy it, you don't need it.
Hell yeah.
You know, if I have something, if I have expensive handbags or shoes or something like that, I want to wear them till they're done and gone. I don't want them sitting in my closet. Why? You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't believe in it. You have to be able to wear and use all of that
I am
shit.
Absolutely nothing in my house is off limits for my kids. I mean, there are, of course, I have like my grandmother's china. I'm trying to not break all of it, you know?
Yeah.
But it's in a china cabinet. So that's kind of like self-explanatory. The violins, we have, you know, we all play the violin.
Whoa.
You all play the violin?
Yes.
Zabrowskis versus Kramers. Kramers can play the violins. What can the Zabrowskis do?
What do you bring?
Collectively.
We make chili.
We make really good chili. Ooh. And okay. Both of our parents are accordion players, and we should.
We've learned nothing.
We've learned nothing.
We didn't
though.
Learn any of it.
No.
We have no musical
We're
skill.
We're annoyed by the accordion instead because we would hear the. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Here they go again.
I regret it. I deeply regret that we didn't take the accordion lessons at the time when they
you
were
can
offered.
Do it now.
I can't learn shit now.
Yeah, it's over. It's over.
Henry, you deeply regret it or like you mildly regret it?
You know what? I feel nothing. I feel nothing about it.
Honesty. This is a podcast about honesty, and I like it.
Would it maybe have helped during the musical comedy boom of 2006 to 2009? Sure. When there was a lot of ukulele comedy. I don't know if anybody remembers that time period. There was a lot of that horseshit.
I know exactly. I lived in that thoroughly.
Yes.
I was doing all that, buddy.
Yes. I know. If I had it then, I would have been at JFL. 2 years earlier, but then I didn't get it. And then you get JFL later doing just character impressions, doing whatever the fucking horseshit that they ask you to do. It doesn't even matter, man.
Yes. Talking about the Just for Laughs Festival.
Montreal doesn't exist.
It doesn't do anything for anybody's career. It was fun to go. I did the cocaine the only time I've ever done it.
Beautiful.
There.
What was that like?
That was it. What a great awful.
Did you have a Montreal bagel?
Yeah, they're flat.
Why do you say it like that's horrible?
Is that a bialy?
Yes.
Is it a bialy, a flat bagel?
Oh, we call it a bialy.
Yeah.
They call it a bagel. And they're like, it is the most incredible thing that we make here. And we're being like, man, I go our south. It's 10 times bigger.
America, baby.
I like a big fluffy bagel. I don't like their little thin bagels.
They are very thin.
I didn't
thin.
Mind. Honestly, it was nice. It's a nice breakfast sandwich, but they don't do it the fat boy way that I wanted to do it. In Montreal, it's got all the other fancy shit on it, but I like it with the fried egg and bacon on it. Honestly, that would be a tasty way to do it because that's a little bit easier to eat. Sometimes a big fluffy bagel is harder to eat, especially because me.
No, that's why you take out the middle. You make a moat. This is what I do. I get the big bagel. I make a moat.
I'm not scooping.
You got to scoop. You got to scoop because you can use the bits later on, put it in a dip.
Crouton.
And then I scoop, and so I can have a moat for my condies and that they can still fit on the sandwich when I cut it off and all the condies doesn't slip off.
I got a tiny mouth.
When I went to Subway yesterday, I had them hollow out the bread. Yeah. And you can have them hollow out your bagel in, you know, a New York deli. Yeah. They'll hollow it out and then make the sandwich for you.
No, I know the
scoop. Some people think it's sacrilege. And I think that it's like, and I'm not doing it to like lose the carbs. I'm doing it for the efficacy of the sandwich.
You might as well just have bread.
I feel like we know exactly what you guys are going to talk about if we had you on.
Bagels?
Bagels.
Food in general? Yeah.
Honestly, what has become to my thing now is I'm trying to find new indie shoe labels that are not just the big ones, right? Like not just because I like all the shoe shit. I got into the sneakerhead world. Mm. And so I like all
that
stuff. Oh,
wait, are you a comedian that's done well for himself?
That's
insane.
No, he's moonlighting as a preacher. You guys have seen all these preachers with these independent like
sneakers and preachers.
Churches wear like $5,000 shoes.
Yes, the Dior's.
No, I didn't know
that. It's the
whole Instagram is sneakers and preachers, yeah.
Yeah, it's so weird, man, because I don't know why. In my mind, what I've been saying about sneakers for years is that it's great fat man fashion, because no matter how much weight you lose, like if I go from, because I go from anywhere from a 30 size 33 to like a 36, like my body changes on a fucking dime.
Pregnant.
But the thing that stays constant is my tiny feet.
You're pregnant.
Yes. Oh, no. Shit. Oh, I will come out. Oh, I feel the soul in me.
They are rebooting Twins. I always forget if it's reboot or what
reimagining, Jackie. Reimagining.
But it's not a reimagining. It's because they're having, it's triplets now. And that they find their third, and their third is Kevin Hart.
I'm fine with it.
I'm speechless.
Wait.
The look of disgust on everyone.
I'm fine with it. Who cares, man? Kevin Hart needs the money.
Wait, what?
He needs the money.
No, it's true. Henry's right. He does. He's the third. There's three men.
I screwed it up.
There's three pregnant men?
There's another one where they're twins. I'm thinking of Twins and not Junior.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the movie Twins with, that's what they're doing it with. Junior is a very different movie.
Wait, they're not going to do a Junior 2? They got to do a Junior 2. Arnold Schwarzenegger should come back and he gets pregnant again for the second time. For someone else.
Sounds familiar.
And again. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they won't say that it's actually happening yet, but Arnold Schwarzenegger is talking about bringing Kevin Hart on for a sequel to the movie Twins.
Take my money.
Take it.
I'll watch that shit.
Fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito back together. It's been a long time since we've seen them together. They get them back together. I want to see Danny DeVito up on his shoulder. I want to see all of the pictures of them on set hanging out. Yeah, like a big
like
parrot
the
full
parrot
of meat.
That you are.
Yeah. Oh my God, like Henry, the little fat parrot. Now, are you guys, when you guys get people on your show, how do you find out? Do they come to you with like, oh, I'm obsessed with this? Or is it the kind of thing that you like hear about through the grapevine of like
both?
Oh, Keiko's obsessed with Enneagram.
Both, but David has curated a process. When like PR brings us a person, they say, you know, so-and-so wants to come on your show. David, you explain the process because he's really curated this way of like digging in like a little squirrel into their brain.
I try to put my nuts in their brain.
Yep.
So what basically happens for a lot of people is they don't understand that they hear this and they go, oh, I have to be an expert on the subject. And we have to explain, no, just something that you're a fanatic about. And then the word fanatic kind of gets them a little bit and goes, wait, I'm not a fanatic about anything. There's people out there in the world who are fanatics about this and that.
Yeah.
We're like, no.
ISIS.
Exactly. The list of ISIS people who are trying to get on this podcast. It's not our demo, but they want in. I just think they'd bomb.
Honestly. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
So anyway, what I try to do is I try to say like, hey, just something that you listen to every day or maybe you look at once a week or you think about like, they're like, if I'm like, hey, do you like Taylor Swift, for instance? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, how often do you listen to Taylor Swift? He's like, I haven't really thought about it. Well, think about it for a second. It's like, I kind of listen to them maybe once a day. just being honest with someone, I go, if you are doing something once a day, you are now a fanatic about that thing. Now, you don't have to be a crazy, insane person, but you are someone who's in love. Like, I listen to Oasis every day.
Wow.
I listen to them every day of the last over a decade or more of my life. It just happens. I don't actively try to. I just, when I listen to music, I know it's going to come on. I look forward to it. And now I guess I would say I am a fanatic about Oasis. I don't,
you
and,
were
and I have to be okay with that.
You were like, yeah, you were slowly turned and hypnotized by Oasis.
I just, I love all their, I love them solo. I loved all their music. I grew, and I, what we find, and I really love this, is that probably whatever happened to you around 12 or 13 years old, there was something that happened, and that thing, that whether it's music or a habit or whatever, is cultured and created in that very precious time that really sticks with you. So if you really think about some of the things that you absolutely love and adore, there's the likelihood of it starting probably in some sort of pubescent time when you were figuring out how to be an adult and like, this is who makes me and my identity. I find those tend to be the things that come up quite a bit. Like Tony Hale and his indoor malls. He didn't start loving indoor malls at 25. That was what he did as a teenager, as a pubescent, you know. And I learned Oasis when I was in summer camp as a 12-year-old and all of these counselors were British and all they were listening to was what all the Brit pop that was coming in. And so that's just came on the speakers and into my ears. And forever I am like tied to like Brit pop music as a New Jersey kid. It's weird.
Interesting. I guess it's like the main things that I take from being 12 was the home improvement shows and masturbating. Because those are really, if there were going to be that, not the home improvement, not that home
improvement,
like HGTV. No, not even. Oh. No, it was, I remember.
I thought you meant Tim the Toolman Taylor.
Trading Spaces and Iron Chef were such a huge part of our middle school into high school experience. And I don't know why.
They were.
Where did
they
you really guys were. Grow up?
Quince.
Where?
We're from Queens, New York.
Oh, Queens.
We're from Woodhaven. And then we moved to Florida when I was in eighth grade and Jackie was some age.
Other.
She's 3 years younger than me. Age. I forget. She was a kind of an amorphous blob until she turned 18 years
My
old.
My sister's 3 years younger than me. That's a good age difference, actually.
It is.
It's really good.
Because then you have like the freshman year of high school and senior year at the same time. I feel like that's when we finally, like, I stopped being a blob and we're like, oh, we're both people.
Yeah, exactly. It happened somewhere like between like 14, 16, 17, that age. And then we had my sister and I, at least. Her name's Callie. Again, unfortunate because her whole life, Kelly. No, Callie.
Oh.
Callie, not Kelly.
It's Callie.
It's Callie. Claire and Callie. But then we had like that period where like I was in college and she was in college and then we'd both come home from college and have like massive parties.
Hell
that
yeah.
was a fun
That's
little
the best time.
Stretch of, you know, like 3-4 years where where no real responsibilities yet. Just you know, being fun, having
being
fun.
Us.
It was really, honestly, that was such a fun year because Jackie went to Florida State and I went to Florida State when I was a senior. Jackie was a freshman, and that's when Jackie got into doing sketch comedy with us. And it was
so
really
you're
going to
say something totally different.
No, not with him.
And
but
drugs.
With many others.
And drugs. There was that, but it was a lot of hallucinogens, which back in the day felt more innocent. Even now, it's innocent. Yeah. Now it's medicine.
Yeah.
Henry, do you still watch these home improvement shows and food shows today?
Discovery Plus is the best thing that happened to our household.
See? I'm obsessed
so
with it.
Look, you're saying this thing that you this is something that you still love and that is
watch all of them.
There you go.
Watch every one. I can also tell you the tiers because we have tiers in our home because we're definitely because Fixer Upper set a sort of like premium and now you're watching everybody chase the Fixer Upper dynamic and it's just not there. You got the new guy with the big beard with the tiny short woman that nobody I can't even identify. Who cares that they're pregnant? They've got some other show that it's the with the real estate people that was that where they got divorced.
Yes.
I think it was called Flip or Flop. Flop or Flip?
Yes. Yeah,
Flip
awful or Flop. People. Yeah, I don't like those people.
Awful
at all.
No,
show.
They're
and
mean
then they try
each
to,
other.
And it doesn't work. HGTV's brand doesn't hold with the divorced couple, because it's not about bickering, it's about togetherness, it's about building a community within each other. So I can't watch them snark at each other. It doesn't have the same flavor, not within the Fixer Upper universe.
I get you.
This is the thing. And Discovery Plus is beautiful.
Yeah, I was never like the by the way, this is a total good topic for you on Fanatics. So
I could talk about it for a long time.
This is like, we can go deep. See how we came, you know, first you're probably like, oh, I don't know what I'm fanatical about. But then we find your little thing.
Dig in. Extreme Pools.
Ooh.
Barn Remodel.
Is that a show?
Yes. These are all big shows.
You're just naming shows now. You're just naming all the shows.
Tiny House Nation.
Oh, I do love those tiny house shows.
It's a trailer. Mm-hmm. Okay? A tiny home is not a house. It's a trailer.
It's a shed. It's a shed.
I over the shoulder watch Tiny House Nation with my wife because she likes it. And I every time I'm watching this show going like, you're not improving your life.
You're
this
not.
This house is not a tiny house. It's just a tiny place. It's not a house.
It's
not
a shed. House. You live it's in a shed that has a bathroom in it, and they've got that like, oh, look at the, oh, look how cute this bungalow bed is, where you have to crawl up.
Awful.
And it's like 2 feet from the ceiling
like a
of the little trailer.
Tube to like crawl into bed. They gotta go down like a fire pole to get out.
But look at all these cool things we have, where they pull out the really sharp looking, like sharp cornered, like instant fold up tables they have inside their micro kitchens. They're like, oh my God, I can cut a pear on this.
No, but that's why that show is great. But then you watch Tiny House Hunters, and every time there was a family of, they had 6 children, and they were looking for a tiny home, and every time they would walk into one, they go, this is really small.
It's Tiny House.
Yeah. You want a tiny home for some reason for you and your 6 children. Don't do that to them.
Man, whenever they walk into a home, they're just like, oh, this is just so much space. Who needs all of this space? Being like, it's called a house.
Right?
It's called a house because otherwise we'd be living in tents. If you want to live in a tent, you can, but you're trying to buy a house.
Let me tell you, my sister's husband's brother, follow that little trail, sister's husband's brother moved up north in California, Northern California, with his girlfriend, and they lived in a tiny house, and it destroyed them. It destroyed them emotionally. It destroyed their relationship, and it destroyed them financially.
The thing about this, I think that it's really
tiny house
crucial
tiny life
for couples to have at least a separate room where you can go to the other room and you can just not see the other person, or where one of you is going to have to spend a majority of the day wearing a sleeping mask and then you have to switch every other day so that you don't see the other person.
I watched I over the shoulder watched an episode where the husband really could not compromise on a grand piano.
What?
Staying in the house.
In the tiny home?
In the tiny house.
What?
Because he's a musician. And it's like been in the family for generations. Dude, clearly you can tell, not a great musician. Really, it's just this house is supposed to like inspire him. You could tell like this is not his like normal day to day. They have a daughter. And somehow they threw that piano in, and it does feel like a punishment to everyone.
I mean, my initial instinct is like, put the piano on the roof and build like an atrium, because that is like the whole house. I don't know. I have outgrown my house. The house is now a tiny house. I mean, it's not. It's a 3-bedroom, but
4
you know,
children.
Right. And homeschooled. I had to create a pod scenario for the last year of homeschooling, where we ran a school out of the back room of my home.
Yes.
So I'm trying to that the school's done. They're going to be back in school in September. Thank God.
Whew.
So now I'm redoing everything, but it does happen. Like, you know, space fills. So trying to like, I don't know. It's like, would you try to, I don't know. Do you want to wear a straight jacket all the time? Those are tiny clothes. Why tiny house?
I mean, I think people just want to smell their family 24/7.
That's
I can
like.
Also just imagine the rage piano coming from the roof all night while you're all trying to sleep and you just hear like...
the Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, that is that's that scenario.
Dad's upset.
Rage Piano is the greatest novel never written.
Yes.
Hey, Jackie, what is... What would be yours? So if Henry is Discovery Plus and all things Discovery Plus, what would probably be one thing that you can maybe talk about? Dare you say you came on the Fanatics podcast? What would be sort of deep dive?
As Henry was talking about it, I realized he took one wing of Discovery Plus and I take the other. And that is mostly polygamy shows. Oh. I've seen every single episode of every reality polygamy show.
She ever. Loves it.
There are 15 seasons of Sister Wives. I've seen every single episode of it. And people are like, why? It's so boring. I can't stop.
No, it's...
I can't stop. I'm so fascinated. I watch Seeking Sister Wives, and Seeking Sister Wives are people that are outside of the faith, of the LDS faith, that choose to have sister wives. And now I am totally down for poly relationships. I am completely 100% into like free love. You do you. Love who you
want. It sounds difficult though. I will say, I'll put that out there. It does sound difficult to be poly, but what are you going to do?
Yes. Of sharing one patriarch is the, it boggles my mind. But the idea of having sister wives, of the idea of raising children with other people so it's not just your ideals, I like that idea.
It's called having friends. It's called having other friends, people in the life. You don't have to be fucking all
right,
of them.
Right, Claire? You can't rely on your friends the same way that you could, I imagine. Now I don't have children, but like, Henry, I love you, but I don't think I could just give you my kids.
Only
for
if you died.
And be like, figure it out.
If you died, I'd have to figure it out. That's the close. That's the only way. But otherwise, I mean, I'm great for a night.
I'm fascinated by all
okay,
of
it. Okay, like let me weigh in.
I like lifelong child. Otherwise, in life, just a night.
First of all, Jackie, I'm with you on the watching of the polygamy shows. I love it.
I love it.
I'm into it. I have not watched all that you've watched, but I did just watch this 5-part series where it was, and this was, by the way, when I have downtime in my office and I'm working on things.
You mean hiding.
Trying to be creative. I like to have an episode of Intervention on in
yeah.
the background.
Oh, yeah.
Love Intervention.
Because it makes me feel really good about myself.
Yeah. I'm walking on sunshine. It's still my favorite episode of all time.
So when I was watching full episodes, and there's a very specific way on YouTube, you have to full episode intervention, you know, like you have to put all the keywords in. Well, it aggregated this 5-part series about the girls who had escaped polygamous households, either marriages or being, you know, growing up in one and left the, you know, the church and the family or whatever, and they were helping others escape. Have you seen that one?
No.
That 5-part series?
No.
Okay, I'm going to send it to you.
Please do. You said it's on YouTube?
Well, that's where I found it.
Okay.
But it originally aired probably on either A&E or, you know, something like that. But back to what you were saying, when I had 4 children under the age of 5,
ooh,
no twins, and I was, you know, basically also working full time.
Oh, yes.
I had a nanny who still to this day, we call each other sister wives because you're right. You cannot do it all. You can't. And the husband is not also doing it all with you. You know what I mean? There's certain,
the milk.
There's certain things.
I've heard the rage of motherhood versus like in a heterosexual couple where it's like, it's the anger of you can't replace me though. And it's the anger of like, I'm the one that makes the milk. I'm the one that they need.
And
I'm
I think
the one that they
a
have.
A kid
to have.
Either starts off with 2 dads and doesn't have that connection to the one person. You know what I mean?
Right.
Which that's a totally different scenario.
Completely.
And I'm not speaking to that scenario because there's obviously different bonding that happens.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They figured other ways to get milk.
Right.
No, but there's also still, I assume that there's always a maternal, like you choose one. I have a parent that I like more. I think everybody does, or like one that you feel more connected to.
So, that's yeah. So, up. And you yeah. can't, like, it's really impossible to do. I always say, like, everybody's always like, how do you do it all? How are you a mom? How are you? And I always say, well, I do believe you can do it all. And I do believe that. But it is really essential to have people to help you.
Yeah.
And so my sister wife, she's not with me full time like she was for many years, but I mean, she was like 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Woo!
Like full time.
Doing
and
it.
So I do think that dynamic that you see on that show is a positive when you're raising kids. But I do agree with you, Henry, you don't have to sleep with everybody to have it.
Not necessarily. But right. I guess sometimes it helps. But also, you know, that's why you got to get, if you ever had a nanny in our home, we'd have to have like a robot nanny or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You can't have like a like Arnold Schwarzenegger made around.
Yeah, but when they, what happens when they rise against you? Mm. And she will inevitably rise against you.
I'll program her to be peaceful.
This is the new movie, AI Nanny.
AI Nanny! Yeah!
AI Nanny is the obvious sequel of Raging Piano.
Yeah, I really love it. I also like the idea of her being from Queens. This is so awesome talking to you guys. Honestly, we should come on and do, we should do reciprocity.
Yes.
Because this would be fun, because I can go deeper. Jackie obviously could talk about that horrible topic for hours and hours and hours.
Yes.
She's ready to go, because it's like one of those things where it is really a secret obsession.
Yeah.
Like, because you don't know how to articulate it. Like, there's things I know about Discovery Plus shows that I have never said out loud to a person, but there are trends and shit I know because of how I have passively ingested shit for 15 years.
And that's why I love your show so much, because it really is that immediately, like, I have many platforms for which to speak upon, and no one gives a fuck about my polygamy shows. I desperately, like, I ask people, I'm like, write in, tell me what you think about, do you watch Sister Wives? Someone must watch it.
It's just Sister Wives.
It's still on. And no one cares about it. And that's okay. And I understand, but I feel like I scream into the nether, into nothing. No one cares.
It's scary. But we all have that thing. That's why I think we get off on this podcast.
Thank you,
because it's fun to be like, yeah, it's, I never talk about Oasis to anybody.
Yeah.
I, you know, talk about the Enneagram with people, but only because I'm doing it with people. Yeah. But I'll never just share about the Enneagram with someone. I'm only doing it with them, because that's just going to bore the hell out of them. But yeah, it's fun to hear. Like, it's almost like a little secret that you're like, you really want to hear this? Okay, I guess I'll talk to you about this thing that's been in my heart for years.
It's been in my heart. And I also do want to give just a quick on the idea of the Twins reboot real fast, because I did look it up. Yes. And I was like, why did I say Kevin Hart? It's because Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Kevin Hart redid the movie Twins, but Eddie Murphy is the triplet that they are trying to get on board for the movie that Ivan Reitman wrote for Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito.
Now, I am 100% behind that.
Right?
Yeah, I'll watch that in a second.
Did you guys see Coming to America 2? Thoughts?
I loved it.
Love.
Jermaine Collar, our friend.
One of our good friends, Jermaine. Killed it.
He killed it. So proud of him. And it's just so good to see Eddie Murphy doing shit again, because he is great.
I agree. He is so underrated. Oh, I mean, yeah. He was, you know, super everywhere. And then kind of like when in
talk
the
about kids.
2000s, the rise of the comedian like went down, I feel like.
Yeah.
So now we're back.
And he has 19 children.
Wow, that's a lot of bills.
He's got a lot of kids.
Oh my God, that's
I
scary.
Actually didn't know that.
Wow.
Yeah.
But is that a sex fanatic or a kid fanatic?
Who that's knows? A kid fanatic.
Okay.
Because there's ways to...
Well, I mean, or you're a Duggar.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's both.
That's the thing.
Thank you guys so much. Where could people find you on the socials?
Well, Henry and Jackie, let me tell you. Fanatics is We Are Fanatics on Twitter and wearefanatics.com on the interwebs.
Hell yeah.
And my own personal Twitter is at Claire Kramer and Instagram at Claire Kramer official, because someone else took my name. So I had to add the official on there.
Hey, man, you beat them.
I beat them.
That's what happens. You come over top.
David.
And you can follow me at David Magadoff, DavidMagidoff.
Nice.
So I got a last name like the Zabrowskis, where it's not a normal, easy spell.
It's
That's
nice
the thing, right, Jackie and Henry?
It is.
I don't want to name my kid...
Sequoia
Kelly Green. We always have to explain our last names to everybody. Names.
Yes,
so that's enough. I already got forever. The last name. Let's make the first name easy.
Yes. Honestly, it's true, because then it gets it out of the way and something classic.
Hell yeah!
So Jackie, if you get married, will you change your last name?
It's really difficult because I'm a goth girl, and the dude that I am fianced to right now, his last name is Adams. And then we'd be the Adams family, and it's really...
But she goes from a Z to an A, and I'm kind of, we're all bitter about it.
Yeah, that's also, I like being at the end of the alphabet. I'm going back and forth.
Yeah, I'm a K, I'm right in the middle. Always been in the middle.
Yeah, I love being in the middle. I imagine, it's got to be great in the middle, because we always had to wait till the end to do anything, but then you also learn a life of putting shit off until the last minute if you are at the end of the alphabet.
That's what she blames it on. That's what she blames it on.
I think that... your next podcast should be jumping from a Z to an A if you do decide.
Whoa, oh my God, what my life would be.
Jackie, that's your TLC show.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Well, that's, yeah, we write A to Z on everything.
From Z to A.
You know. Zah. Tune in to Zah.
Thank you guys so much for joining us here for the LPN show. Listen to all of the other wonderful, essential shows on the LPN network. Last podcast on the left, page 7, Wizard and the Bruiser, Pop History, Someplace Underneath, No Dogs
there
in Space.
He goes.
I'm getting through all of them.
Roll call.
Rider Side, all of the bullshit.
You don't need to say them all.
You look it up, you'll find it.
You will.
And so thank you guys. Let's say a bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.